to be with us tonight. We pray you look upon them as well. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel. We started a little lesson on last week, 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I'll just pick up here at verse 22. We'll read from there, and then we'll go on forward. 1 Samuel 2, verse 22 says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people." Now, on last week, actually, let me read a little bit more, and then I'll go into something that we talked about last week. It says, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt? In Pharaoh's house, says, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Let me just pause there before we read on. We read last week of where God established in Scripture where the sons of Aaron would actually be, you know, not just priests, Levites and priests, but what they had this, Aaron had the responsibility of being the high priest. So he could offer sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. He could atone for first he had to atone for himself, and then he had to atone for the people. And when God called Aaron home, he had Moses to strip Aaron of his garments as a high priest, and then he gave that responsibility to one of Aaron's sons. All right, and so what God was doing is through these sons, as you know, children would be born in this lineage, they would have the responsibility of being the high priest. This was a very, very special role. Eli's sons happened to be in that lineage where they could have been high priests. Their activity, their lifestyle, their just the way that they handled the things of God, the people of God, excluded them from this, right? And you know, what we see here is not even, you know, even Eli, he just didn't handle this right. Yes, he talked to some, but he could have did a lot more. And what we read last week, there was another situation in Scripture where Phinehas was there at the Feast of Baal-Peor. He also was in that Aaronic lineage, all right? But Phinehas, when sin came into the camp, Phinehas went and got a javelin, and he killed the people that were actually involved in this act, right? And that actually stopped God from actually killing the people himself, right? God was appeased by this man eradicating sin. Eli did not eradicate sin. Eli just kind of lived with it. Yeah, he made a correction, but he could have did a little bit more. And what he got rebuked for is that he put his sons above the word of God. And oftentimes in church, what we have is people that put their families above the word of God. We cannot do that as ministers. Everybody is on the same level, and the word is the word is the word. Actually, in my case, I know I've been harder on my children than I've been on others, because I know the responsibility that goes with that, right? There's a grand responsibility with how we treat the you know, just things, how things are done here in the house of the Lord. You can't be looking at sin happening in your child's life and still allowing them to do whatever they need, whatever they were doing in the church, and you never say nothing about it. But somebody else come along in the church and they get involved in the same sin, and you want to sit them down and you want to do all these other things. Right. No, if they get set down, your child should be set down. Right. Amen. Until they get their life right. When they get their life right, they can be restored. And come back and start serving the Lord again. But don't bring them up. And that's one thing about me. I want to make it clear. I have specific instructions that I won't follow when somebody's sitting down, and just wait till the pastor brings them back up. Yes. Right. Wait till the pastor has a conversation with them to bring them back up. Don't just do that on your own.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right, so there's a way things are supposed to be done in the house of the Lord. So never go ahead like that. You can get yourself in trouble with God when you do things like that. Right. So here we have Eli putting his sons above the word of God. He gets rebuked. Now, as we continue to read in the book of Samuel, we're going to see what happens to these boys. You know, even with them being told by their dad of their activity and the things that he wasn't pleased with, God wasn't pleased with, these boys did not pay any attention to that. They continued to do exactly what they were doing. Well, since Eli couldn't take care of it, God did.
Yeah. Amen.
You, when we keep reading, you'll realize God did. Eli couldn't, but God did. Yeah. All right, let's keep reading here. Verse 31. Now, we see him being rebuked here by this man of God, and I share it with you all a little chart that I showed you last week, and this chart kind of comes into play again. Let's read verse 31, and we'll keep going. Verse 31 says, "Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm." All right. Now, remember that the Aaronic priesthood is not impacted. What happens is the arm of the Aaronic priesthood that was flowing through where Eli was a part of, that arm was being cut off. I have a chart there. We can just kind of show it. And I'll just explain this again, and we'll look at some things in scripture. But the thing here, and there's a couple of things I want to just kind of mention here. The first thing is that he's talking about thine arm. So Eli is here. These are his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Phinehas had a son by the name of Ahitub, and then he had Ichabod. Ichabod actually means the glory of the Lord has departed. We'll read that as we go forward in the book of 1 Samuel. And then Ahitub had Ahiah and Abimelech and Abiathar. Now, I want to say this word of bridge is really saying that we're not seeing everybody that's in the lineage. All right, we're not seeing everybody that's in the lineage. But it just kind of gives you a summary of what the lineage is. So when it says that thine arm is being cut off, it's talking about Eli no longer with this side right here be able to have the role of the high priest. That is actually going to be given back over to this side. It's still in the Aaronic priesthood, but it's going to go to this son down in his line. And what we're going to read in a little bit, that it went from Abiathar over here that was coming under Eli's line, but now it's going to come under Eliezer over here. Zadok is going to get it. Okay, it's going to move from here to here, and all of that is prophecy. All of that is prophecy that's being fulfilled. All that is prophecy for what we just read here, and when it says that thine arm, I'm going to cut off thine arm. That's what the scripture is telling us. So let's read verse 31 again. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there should not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Now this is a prophecy going over Eli's son. In one day they shall die, both of them. Okay. It goes on and says, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. All right. So going forward here, one of the things that I wanted to look at, last week we looked at how God established the priesthood amongst Aaron and his sons. We went to scriptures like Exodus 29, Numbers 25, and just kind of read from there. But in looking at verse 31, how Eli's arm, it says, I will cut off thine arm. We want to just kind of look at that and how that happened in scripture. We want to look at that. And we'll be going here to 1 Kings 2 and 27. And as we're getting ready for that, I want to just read a little note that I had in my Bible that pertains to 1 Samuel 2:31. It says, this prophetic denunciation, which is what we just read in 1 Samuel 2, verse 31 through 36, this prophetic denunciation declares that the family of Eli, from the high priestly house of Ithamar, would have its privilege removed, and that the priesthood would be given to another line. This apparently took place in the time of Solomon, when the high priesthood was transferred back to Zadok of the line of Eleazar, where it had been before Eli's time. So this was very special for Eli to even get this. Somehow in history, God had moved it from the line of Eliezer and gave it to the line where Eli was in, and they had tremendous responsibility. But he allowed his sons to just do whatever they wanted to do in the house of God. God revoked this privilege. It's a powerful privilege to have revoked. Now, First Kings 2 and 27. We'll see. We'll see this. It says, and unto Abiathar, the priest, said the king, get thee. Okay. Go back to 26, I'm sorry. And unto Abiathar, the priest, said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. It says, so Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. So here the prophecy has been fulfilled. Abiathar loses the priesthood. Now the question is, how did he lose it? How did he lose it? Now we step back into some more scripture. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 3 through 10. And we'll read a couple things here. Another thing I will have you to know that when that prophecy was spoken in the days of Eli, there was nothing that was going to stop that prophecy from coming to pass. And sometimes when we look at certain situations and circumstances that have in our life, we might not understand why it's happening. But if there was a prophecy regarding that, then there's nothing that could stop that prophecy from coming to pass. Nothing, 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 nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Branham tells us that the wheels or the cogs of prophecy, they turn real slow. They turn slow. But nonetheless, it will come to pass. Sometimes you look in scripture and when God gives a prophecy about something, it might be years, hundreds of years before that thing actually manifests, but it will manifest. It will manifest. I mean, you can be assured once God speaks it, it is going to come to pass. So here, you know, it was spoken over Eli. It was spoken over his sons and spoken over the lineage. And now we find Abiathar lost it. But how? How did Abiathar lose this? Let's look at this. 1 Kings 1, verse 3 through 10. Let's start here. It says, so they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. This is to King David. And the damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king, and he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now, this is very important. This son of David, Adonijah, the scripture tells us he exalted himself. He made himself king. God did not make him king. This man did this on his own. He had the influence of the people. And with that influence, he exalted himself. Very, very important. Because you'll have that in ministries today where people, they love to have the preeminence over other people. They love standing behind the sacred desk. And they will exalt themselves to places that God never put them in. Yeah, when you look at leader, you want to know how did they get there. You want to know the story of a ministry. How did this ministry get started? Amen. Right. Amen. You need to ask questions. What was the testimony of how this ministry got started? It will tell you a lot about the ministry if you just ask those type of questions. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to read it real quick. We're going to read it soon. Adonijah exalted himself to be king or pastor or whatever type of leader you want to call it. He exalted himself into that role. And when a man exalts himself into a role like that and God didn't do it, it does not last long. Oh my. It doesn't last long. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to fight it. You just let it work itself out. Watch the scripture. Watch the scripture. Watch this. Verse 5, then Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men that run before him. And I'm going to just say this. Any person that is fighting to become a pastor don't know what they're signing up for.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Anytime you see a person fighting, doing all kind of stuff so they can get into the role of pastor, they have no clue what they're doing. Usually, the guy that God has called to be pastor is the guy that's running from it.
Amen.
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 The guy that don't want to do it. The guy don't feel comfortable in that role, right? But the guy that is, I mean, he just... I've heard of situations where, you know, brother went to at the church, and when he got up to preach, he presented his resume, you know, to the church as to why he should be the pastor. You don't do things like that. Remember the scripture. In the book of Proverbs, it says, a man's gift will make room for itself. You don't have to push yourself into roles. You don't have to promote yourself. You don't have to put Facebook posts and Instagram posts and all kind. You don't have to do things like that when God has called you to a position. When God has it for you, then there's nobody that can take your place. Nobody. And I don't care who gets into that place before you. God has a way of just letting things just fall apart. I'm telling you about. And I remember a pastor telling me, a Pentecostal pastor told me this before I even started pastoring. He says, Jack, he says, there's things that's going to happen in the church, and you're going to hear about it, and you're actually going to want to get involved with it and do something about it. He says, what you should do is just not get involved with it. Just let it all play out, and then that way your name can be tarnished in any way, because you ain't have nothing to do with it.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen. Now, this is a man that was a pastor for a number of years, so I listened to that advice. Don't just jump at everything you hear. You just read it, pounce. No, don't do that. I remember precious sister, she means so much to me. one of the sisters here in our church, but in the younger days of my ministry, man, if I saw something, I was ready to attack it. I'm attack this. And you should know better. You've been in this message for all these years. You should know better. So sister had to pull me to the side and say, Pastor, I just want you to read this one scripture for me. I just want to share this one scripture with you. And she shared it and I read it. James 1:20, I believe it says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Amen. And when I looked at that scripture, I was ready to say something back to her, and I read it again and read it again, and I said, thank you. The word of God is all you need to settle you sometime. The wrath of man, you can't come up in your anger and think you're going to get somebody corrected.
Amen.
Just because you see it. Sometimes you got to just wait on God. It'll be dealt with.
Amen.
It'll be dealt with. But sometimes people are like, man, you ain't dealing with it fast enough. Well, let's see, that's why the church is still together. That's exactly why the church is still together. Right? But sometimes people want to just come in anger. You got to understand, your anger ain't going to get nothing accomplished. But you said it. You said it, but it's more than just saying it. You want to see the people actually go through a change and a transition after you say it. Yeah. But if it's said in the wrong spirit, they'll never be able to receive it.
Amen.
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 All right. Verse 6, I believe. Yeah. Says, and his father had not and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. Now, if you know the story of Absalom, you know he also exalted himself. So there was a spirit running through these boys, right? Absalom exalted himself, but he ended up dying at the hands of Joab. But here now his younger brother now exalts himself to be king. Now watch this. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. So how did Abiathar lose the privilege of this high priest opportunity? Is because he aligned himself with the wrong leader. Oh, my. He aligned himself with the wrong leader. This, as a priest, he should have known God never anointed Adonijah. There was no prophet there to pour oil on his head. Even, I mean, when David got anointed, the prophet Samuel poured the oil on his head. That showed you, that was a sign that this was the one that God chose. Oh, yeah. My God. Go back in the scripture. And when it was, I mean, when Saul was king, and he got away from the word of God, he was rebuked by the prophet. Said, you know, he said, you're doing all these sacrifices and everything. He says, but how's that statement? It's better to obey than to sacrifice. He got rebuked. Says it's better to obey the word of God than to sacrifice. Don't give me excuses as to why you're doing all these sacrifices. I gave you very specific instructions, Saul, but you didn't follow those instructions. Well, he lost the kingship because he couldn't follow the word of God. And the prophet Samuel, was a little disappointed that God had rejected Saul, and God said, no, I've already got somebody else that I've called to the position. Don't worry about him. Pretty much, I got something. I want you to go to the house of Jesse. And as he gets down there to the house of Jesse, he tells Jesse what he's there for. He says, yeah, I'm here to anoint the next king. And he's like, oh my, well, you know, I got a son right here, and I know that this guy right here, he looked something similar to Saul. And I think this boy would be the boy. But see, God had given Samuel something that he could use, that he could use that would help him identify who the next king was. And let me tell you, it was not his eyesight. Right. It was not his emotions. It was not his feelings. That was not the way that he was going to identify the next king. It's through his emotions and feelings. And yeah, he looked like a great king. God had to tell him, as soon as he saw that boy walk in the house, he's like, this has got to be the king. God said, no. Samuel, I don't look on the outward appearance. But me, I look in the heart. And so he gave him something that was a little bit more sure than his feelings. He gave him something that was a little bit more sure than his emotions. He gave him oil. Gave him oil. And when he picked up the oil to try to pour it on that first boy, no oil came out. They went through, according to scripture, I believe, they went through seven boys. Seven of them. No oil came out. No oil comes out on any of these boys. And even the prophet, oh my God. See, I'm telling you, it's the one that nobody think nothing about. That's the one that God is usually calling. That's the one God wants to do the job. It's the one that nobody thinks about. Even the prophet had to ask the father, do you have any other boys? That's a shame that the dad had never even thought to bring his last boy, the eighth boy, into the house. That's a shame when your dad don't even have confidence in you like that. And I always like to dramatize it because it means so much to me. When he says, you know, he says, yeah, I got another one, but if the oil didn't pour out on these other seven boys, I can guarantee ain't no oil gonna flow on this one here, because this boy right here, this boy, he ain't about nothing. Yeah. And the prophet say, we ain't gonna eat till you go get him. Go get the last boy, go get him, bring him here. And when they went and got David out the field, brought him into the house, my God, something struck the prophet that he hadn't felt before. He like, this is the boy. I mean, I can just see probably the oil just seeping out of the container. Yeah. I mean, just bubbling out, and everybody in the house, everybody, all the brothers had to be there. Glory to God. All the brothers had to be there to identify that this is the one that God chose. We're not talking about the one that man chose. We're talking about the one that God chose. And the other thing I'm not talking about is the one that would self-exalt themselves. You watch that, church. If something ever happened to me and I wasn't around, you don't want the brother that's going to self-exalt himself to become the leader of the church. You want the one that God has chose. And this is why it's important to me, you know, when I do the business meeting and things like that, I say one of the open positions is an assistant pastor, because that's something that I keep in my heart. I want to see successful succession. Successful succession. I believe succession is necessary. You know, I don't believe the church is built on me. I believe the church is built on the word. And so we're looking for the next brother to stay right there with that word and be able to carry the church on to the next, you know, to the coming of the Lord. If the Lord don't come in my day. But I believe he's coming in my day. I'm living like he is. Hallelujah. But you can't be a self-exalted leader. Let's. So my thing is, Abiathar knew the history, and he knew that it was the anointing that made people the next king. It wasn't just because you felt this guy could be king. Yeah. It's not about our feelings, not our emotions. It's what God says. Oh my! Look at this. Let's keep reading. I don't know what verse 7, okay. So, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. And that conferred, see, side meetings happening and people talking and discussing things. Sometimes you don't even know discussions are happening and people making plans. And you thinking it's just, you thinking it's something else. But no, there's a self-exaltation that has happened. And they've gone through a process. I want you to understand when Adonijah did this. I'm gonna say something. Adonijah did this when David was sick. I'm gonna say that again. Adonijah did this when David was sick. But the other thing we're gonna find out, even in David's sickness, he demonstrated that Solomon was supposed to be the next king, not Adonijah. All right. Let's read. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priests. He got different people on his side, and they following Adonijah helped him. And because Abiathar made this decision, he ended up losing the priesthood. But Zadok the priest, look at that, but Zadok the priest, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet. Look who all these people now. Now go back to that chart again. Y'all can see what's going on here in scripture. So Abiathar went with Adonijah, but Zadok stayed with the prophet. Look at, because the scriptures tell us, but Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Because they were willing to stay with the word, they were exalted. I mean, now Zadok is going to receive the priesthood again. Now, it's the lineage is changing where the high priest's responsibilities are going to be to Zadok now. He stayed with the word. Verse 9 says, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle. And if I could just, but they had a special service to celebrate Adonijah. Adonijah slew sheep, oxen, fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons and all the men of Judah the king's servants. Watch this. But Nathan, the prophet, Benaniah, the mighty man, and Solomon, his brother, he called not. So there were certain people he would not invite to the service because he knew it wasn't right. He knew it wasn't right. I'm here to tell you, spirits don't die.
That's right.
Spirits don't die. You can look in biblical history, you watch certain things that happen, and then you go from there. Like I told you earlier, sometimes it's good for you to ask, how did this church get started? Talk to people. How did this church get started? I'm aware of certain churches and how they start. And if it's not founded properly, it'll be problems. I could be honest and tell you that there was a disagreement about some things, and that's why this church got started. Disagreement, and typically most times in most churches, there's going to be a disagreement about something that kind of caused the church to get started. That's just normal, y'all. But what was the disagreement? And then when you start digging and you find out that, then you can kind of base, okay, was this a word-based decision or was this just your feelings or your emotions?
Right, right.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God, right? But it's important for you to get history. And sometimes God allows things to happen. Like I always, when this church got started, I remember reading a scripture in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas. After the supernatural experience of the jail falling apart and them being released from prison after the jail fell apart, God caused an earthquake, and the earthquake went out after they were praising the Lord. After all of that, all them supernatural experiences that they had, yet Paul and Silas came to a spot in their time where they differed with one another. So brothers go through that. Sisters go through that. They differ one another. But you know, when they differ one another, when they differ with one another, what happens, that it caused Paul to go in one direction and it caused Silas to go in another. But you know, when they both went in these two opposite directions, that the word of God was going with them into those other areas, which allowed more people to be reached because they were going out.
Amen.
Like this.
Amen.
Oh, my. So sometimes God allows things to happen in a church to cause a disagreement, and then we go forth, but more people being reached now. Now when we go our separate ways, Silas can't be over here, hallelujah, telling everybody about what Paul did. And Paul can't be over here telling everybody how bad Silas was. That's where the problem comes in. No, we got to understand more people are being reached because God allowed this to happen in the church. All right, let me try to keep reading. I got a little bit more. I think I want to get to verse 10, and then I want to skip a little bit. Verse 10 says, "But Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty man and Solomon his brother, they call not." All right, skipping to verse 32 in the same chapter. I tell you, you could read this yourself and you'd be blessed by it. First Kings 1, verse 32 says, "And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan, the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon." Now, the part that I skipped there, just real quick, is that they heard that Adonijah had self-exalted himself, and he had this great service going on, and all these people invited and everything, everybody celebrating Adonijah. Solomon's mother Bathsheba and also the prophet Nathan, they came up with a scheme where they would go to David and say, did you promote Adonijah to be king? They're celebrating him right now, you know. Bathsheba would say, I thought you told me that Solomon was going to be king. And David being sick now, having to deal with this, he's so you go talk to him first, and then I'll come in and reaffirm your words. And when Nathan came in and reaffirmed the words, that's when David said, okay, let's talk about this. So quickly, then all the people that were not invited, the ones that would not stand with Adonijah, they gathered all them, and now they're getting ready to go and establish that Solomon was going to be the king. Watch it. Verse 33 says, The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. See, that anointing is coming through the priest and the prophet. Okay? Amen. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Yeah. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne. For he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaniah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen, the Lord God of my Lord, the king say so too. And as we're reading this, I just want to inject this because I don't know if I'll get a chance. I think as a church, it's very important that we understand succession is necessary. Succession in a church is necessary. Talking about it is necessary. Having a plan in place is necessary. That way the church don't end up scattered. I know many churches, pastor has passed away years ago, and they don't have a leader. Still don't have a leader. I'm talking about the pastor's been gone for almost 10 years, and still no person risen up. And what happens, they just constantly lose more and more members until it get down to dwindle just a few people there. I've seen churches where, they're again unexpected. Pastor passed away, and there was no plan. Nobody talked about anything. And what usually happens is that the wife of the pastor usually runs the church. Wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to go. That's never God's plan. So you got to have a plan in place, and it's got to be talked about. So you want to see, you know, younger ministers that are coming up. And sometimes you get to a spot where it's only the deacons running the church, right? No. I mean, deacons will get different ministers to come in, and that's great. But we want to actually have a pastor. We need a man of God, you know, to be there in place. So it's very important. And I like the way David did it. David established Solomon as the next leader before he died. Moses established Joshua as the next leader before he died. So you want to see these things happen, and for me, you want to see it where it's almost just very natural for people to see this is the person that should be succeeding the pastor if God calls the pastor on. Everybody in the church realizes that. Now you have some that can see it but gonna fight it. I mean, let me tell y'all something. It's gonna be some Adonijahs in the church. They're going to be in the church. That spirit does not die. Amen. Absaloms will be in the church. Adonijahs will be in the church. But thank God there's some Solomons in the church. Amen. There's some Zadoks that'll stay with the word. They're still there. They're in the church as well. We need those type of people. Yes. Amen. The church should not fall apart if God called me home. That means it was built on the wrong foundation.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's why we encourage the next generation. We encourage them. And never get to a spot, I in one way, I can appreciate, you know, a statement that I recently heard. I can appreciate it. But then another way, Brother Wesco is gone. Lord called him. And Brother Mike was saying that, you know, people say, I got some big shoes to fill. I ain't trying to fill them shoes. And he right. Look, who going to try to step in and fill Brother Wesco's shoes? Nobody can do that. God made Brother Wesco, Brother Wesco. God just made him that way. However, we do understand there is a responsibility that we all carry for this next generation, you know, and there are things. I mean, just growing up in Brother Wesco's ministry, the things that I knew how he did it. I was the one doing most of it. So I knew how he did it, right? And in doing that, like one of the things I knew Bro Esco did, meetings, he gonna fill the church up, fill it up. I mean, we'd be telling anything, Bro Esco just filling it up. Bro Esco, we out of room. Doing banquets and everything. We all the tickets sold, no more seats. And the night of trying to get people still inside the banquet. Y'all know what just happened to me in the last banquet? The night of. Somebody showed up at the banquet, then no ticket, wasn't even supposed to be there, then drove an hour. And I have to say, did you not get the memo? This the way things. And I had to kind of make a judgment call right there as to do I let them in or do I say no and just, have a stiff hand. I'm going to tell you something about the stiff hand. Because we had seats, so it was easy to say yes. But if I did a stiff hand, you know what would have happened? It would have broke fellowship amongst some of the other churches. You got to have wisdom in the way that you handle things, in the way you handle people, right? You got to have wisdom. So all them things that Brother Wesco used to do is like, okay, we got to keep it going. And that's why we're having a meeting in July. Amen. This is the way it used to be in West Palm Beach. Brother Wesco is the one that put us on the map. He put West Palm Beach on the map. And I'm telling you, this is from years ago when we first came into this message. Brother Wesco was the one who put West Palm Beach on the map. When he went and preached that sermon, Speak the Word Only, he put West Palm Beach on the map. And then from there, our choir began to sing. My aunt, Sister Lewis, and my mom, and and just all the different ones that was just there back in the day.
Yeah.
Glory to God. and then come along later on, Brother Joe Underwood. You all hear the song, I woke up this morning and I didn't have no doubt. Yeah. Right? Well, that's the original part of it. Underwood, I don't know why this going out on me. It might be batteries or something. Let me see. Okay, I'll keep going. I'm almost done. I'll keep going. When you hear, as I journey on through this barren land, I know I'm in the Master's plan. So I walk by faith each and every day, because I know God will show me the way.
Amen.
That's Brother Joe Underwood. That's Brother Joe Underwood. Calvary, oh Calvary,
yes.
That's where he died. And they sing it every year in England. That's Brother Joe Underwood.
Yes.
That's coming from West Palm Beach. Next generation. Now I can't even think of the song. Though the oceans may roar, mountains be shaken, I'm not forsaken, you are with me. Every step that I take, don't have to worry, your hand will guide me. That's West Palm Beach. Sister Rebecca Duff Mugo. West Palm Beach was on the map, y'all. Glory to God. I mean, I can just keep going on and on. Let me just stop because many of you all, others, y'all don't realize this is what you all have come up under. Sister Abby just come back from a meeting and singing her song, and it is a blessing to the people. Sister Cherie singing cover songs, and it's a blessing to the people. Just Sister Tina kind of somewhat retired a little bit, but when y'all pull out of retirement, she just showed up at a funeral recently, and Sister Tina was the first one come out. Yeah. God said it, that settled. She went way back.
Yeah.
And the church just, brother said, I ain't never been to a service like that. Well, that's West Palm Beach.
All right.
Let me keep reading. Let me see, where am I? I'm trying to get to verse 39, so 36. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen, the Lord God of my Lord. The king say, so too, as the Lord hath been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. We want to know, my brother, do you have oil? That's what it is. A horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. Now, I got to skip over chapter 2, verse 13, there in 1 Kings, and we will try to just bring our lesson to a close tonight. Just looking at this when it says, I will cut off thine arm. How did all this happen? How did all that happen? So here in chapter 2, verse 13 says, and Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their face on me, faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and has become my brother's. For it was his from the Lord. And it's good that Adonijah acknowledges that this was a God thing. This was not a self-exaltation of Solomon.
Right.
Solomon just minding his business. But this was a God thing. It says, from the Lord. Verse 16. And now I ask one petition of thee. Deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. Now, this was this request. Remember, Abishag, I read earlier, was given to David to try to help him in his old age. He was ill, and they tried to give him a younger wife, you know, and everything to try to just cheer him up. But the Bible says that he never even knew her. He never even knew her. So now Adonijah is going to ask for this woman as wife. Now the thing of it is by asking for her as wife, it actually allows him to stake a claim on the king, on being king. So let's watch how this falls out. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on the right hand, on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee, I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on my mother, for I will not say thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, thy brother, the wife. King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also? That's how big this was, because it's you're staking a claim on the kingdom when you take the former king's wife like that. Okay? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zariah. So you want to ask for all these people too, knowing what they just did? So watch now. It says, then King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now look, I was going to let you live. I know you rose up to try to take the kingdom from me. I was going to let you live after that. But now you're coming after something a little bit more precious, the wife. Now you're going to have to die. Mm-hmm. Right? And now what's going to happen is that Adonijah is going to lose his life. Joab going to lose his life. Abiathar is going to lose his right to the priesthood because of being aligned with the wrong people. Lord, that is a powerful statement right there. I'm going to just say this. There's some people out there aligned with the wrong church. I'm going to just say it. There's some people out there aligned with the wrong church and don't even know how they got into it. You better ask questions. You need to ask questions. Brother Branham said, when you're choosing a church, it's just like choosing a wife. And anybody that's getting married to somebody, you don't just go get married to them and not ask them questions about, you know, their family background and where they come from, who their parents are. You want to know some history. Right. Praise the Lord. Right? You just don't just, let's get married. You don't know nothing about the person. They actually could be married in another country. You don't know nothing. So you ask questions, you court, you do things like that, right? So when you're looking for a church, you need to make sure you're asking the right questions. I'm giving you all types of examples here in Scripture. There's many kingdoms got started different ways, but only some was ordained by God. Let's put it that way. Amen. You can self-exalt yourself to be a leader, or you can wait for God to actually make you a leader. Praise the Lord. Let's verse 24. Therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David, my father, who hath made me an house. God did this. God established me on this throne. He made me a house. As he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. You align yourself with the wrong person. You're worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all where my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. My God. I won't have time to go through tonight, but we'll come back. Because Abiathar was not a faithful priest, Eli was not a faithful priest, God promised that he would raise a faithful priest. And we got one. We got one. His name is Jesus. We'll stop there for tonight. We'll have a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we are grateful to be able to read the word. But God, it's even better when we can apply what we read. We trust, oh God, that Lord, that our hearts would just draw closer to you, that we'd be sensitive to what you're doing in this hour. Satan is very busy. It's a lot that he got doing that he's doing. And Lord, and when we can look through the lens of the Word of God, the eyes of the Word of God, we can see so much. It's right there in the Scripture. And spirits don't die. They just anoint the next generation. Lord, our prayer is that we can align ourselves with you, align ourselves with your Word. If we're standing on the Word, then we'll never fail. We'll never falter. Because the word itself would never fail. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us. May we take this and use it, Father, for our own further men and development in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you tonight's announcements. So let's see here. Sunday morning, our prayer from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then service will start at 10:30 a.m. We have Sunday school from 9:30 to 10. And that's for our youth and young adults. And again, for the young adults, even our anyone is attended. I mean, anyone can attend that young adult class. Our streaming will continue through our Facebook, SAT Tabernacle, and then also our church website, www.john423.org. And then the annual church business meeting is scheduled for Friday, January 31st at 7:30 p.m. That'll be right here. We'll be doing our annual church business meeting for the members only. And so keep that in mind. It will not be recorded. We don't typically record that, but everyone that can attend, please do so. We have offering in multiple ways that you can give. Those that are in the sanctuary, there is a box on the back table that you can use as you're exiting. Otherwise, those that are online, you can use Zelle, PayPal, or Cash App. The preferred method is Zelle because they don't take fees, but PayPal and Cash App, they will take fees from your giving. Zelle is giving at john423.org. PayPal is giving at john423.org. And if you use Cash App, it's $SpiritOfT. Those that would like to mail in an offering, the address to the church is on the bottom of the screen there. P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. All right. Now, before we do our testimonies, I believe we have a birthday today. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, y'all know what we got to do. Sister Virginia is celebrating a birthday. We thank the Lord. So we will sing happy birthday to our precious sister. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sister Virginia. Happy birthday to you. All right. Happy birthday, happy birthday. And many more. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to thank the Lord to have Brother Pat with us tonight, Brother Marty and Brother Mark. I believe Brother Mark and Brother Marty from Connecticut?
Yes, that's right.
All right. And down here enjoying a Florida winter. Amen. And they happen to know Brother Pat. Brother Pat, been Floridian for a while. I know he attends there in Ocala, Brother Joe Underwood's church, but I've known him since he was in Sarasota. Years ago. So it's good to have them, amen, in fellowship with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. So anybody have a testimony they want to share or a prayer request that they'd like to mention tonight? Okay, we got a couple hands. I got five hands. All right, up here first. Oh, you can start in the back. That's fine. You're there.
God bless you. I'd like to ask for prayer. My uncle passed away today, and I'd like to ask for prayer for my other uncle, who's the last one of 10 children, that he, you know, his strength will be, just pray for my family.
All right. Sister Shonda had her hand up.
God bless you. Pray that you keep my sister and Brother Troy in prayer as they travel over the next week. Also, my brother Lim has been dealing with something that the doctor's not really sure. They're still doing a lot of tests on something going on with his kidneys, I believe. And they're going to be doing a procedure tomorrow where they're going to be draining some fluid off of them. Please keep them in your prayers.
Okay. Sister Brown, I believe.
God bless you, church. I'm requesting prayer for my sister Linda, who is in the hospital, and she's battling with diabetes, blood pressure, and seizures. So if you would keep her in prayer.
Sister Virginia.
God bless you, church. I just wanted to thank God for allowing me to see another year. I've spent many birthdays in church, and I'm just grateful to be able to spend this particular one in church. I've had some ups and downs and good days and bad days, but I thank God that they've all worked together for my good. Thank God for just sparing me from car accident, myself and my daughter, New Year's Eve, and just thank God for his grace and mercy and to be here in service and for this congregation and my pastor.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I come from Connecticut, and I come out of Craig Boer's church, but we had a big, it's funny that he preached on someone trying to take over. We had a big split in the church. The deacon went one way and the pastor went another, but the pastor left the church and took the whole congregation. Mm. So we kind of had a split up church, and the pastor was pretty set up. He went a couple of weeks without a service, so I hadn't been going to church. And then I went hunting for a week. I missed the service, but then he had 2 weeks of service, and then he went on vacation and we didn't have any service. So in the last 2 months, I probably went to church like 2 or 3 times, so I was kind of starving. And I know I'd plan a trip to come down to see Brother Pat and go to a couple different churches. Brother Joseph Underwood's church, which I was really inspired by, and we went down to Tampa to down to the
Carl's
church.
Carl Gurney.
Yes.
You know, but the most inspired, I really needed to get fed. I was starving. And the most that Pat has a neighbor who's a Pentecostal woman, and I got more inspired by her sitting down dinner with her. Mm-hmm. You know, you go into the house, and no, she doesn't have long hair. She wears pants. Mm-hmm. She's not a message believer, but she gave these testimonies that were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. One of the stories was she worked for a lawyer who happened to be her cousin. Mm-hmm. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. And the guy was an alcoholic, and she just kept going there, and she was working for him because she was a paralegal. Not only was she a paralegal, she was a nurse practitioner, very bright nurse, just below a doctor. Mm. So she's trying to help her cousin, who's an alcoholic, and he's falling apart. He'd never been married before. I think he was maybe 50 years old, and she was working with him, and she just tried to get him to stop drinking and get him to come to the Lord. Mm. And she eventually, what happened was the guy hit rock bottom. He was an alcoholic, so I didn't know it, but there is a pill that they take when they're an alcoholic. And if they drink alcohol, they die. Mm. So it's like, hey, you gotta stop drinking, take this pill. If you drink alcohol, you're gonna die. Well, I don't know whether he had some cough syrup.
Yeah.
He almost died, and he's in his office, and he's dying. Mm. And his two brothers were there, And they called her in. They wanted her to come down because she's a nurse. She knows a little bit about medical. She said, you gotta bring this guy to the hospital. Mm. And they were like ashamed to because they didn't want to do that. Mm. For some reason or another, anybody know to have the ambulance make a big scene. It was in his office. Well, she says, okay, I got to pray. Mm. Now he's sitting in the chair there. He's dead. He's almost dead. And she's looking at him, his eyes are rolled back, she knows more about it. The guy was almost dead, he was close to being dead. So she says, we gotta pray. So she says, in the name of Jesus Christ, come back to life. You know, the guy came back to life.
Amen.
The way she told the story, and he rolled up and he was like, he came back from the dead, it was amazing. And he turned his life around, and I guess he got his act back together again. He ended up getting married, having a child, and now he's a state attorney for the state of Florida.
Oh, my. Praise the Lord.
But then she kept going. She had another story. This was years ago. She works for another attorney now, and he's a drunk, too. And he's going broke. He's going broke, and she works for him. And she's telling the story. It's so funny. We're sitting there having dinner. And she's cooked us dinner. We're sitting there. She starts talking about it. And she said, she's staying with him. He hasn't paid her since August, since she's broke. So she's sitting there. And she's hurting for money. Oh, she has enough money, but she's just doing it because she knows heaven just glorifies them.
Oh, man.
Is so happy and celebrates so much when they bring that one more soul in. So she looks up and says, Lord, you know my bank account, help me. And she did get help. She ended up getting some money from a certain place. But that's not the only story.
Yeah.
Then she gets into another story. She's a Pentecostal. She tells this story that she's in a Pentecostal church. She goes to this Pentecostal church where and it's halfway. She had to go to Georgia with one of her friends. She's a widow twice over, and she's a single woman. So she gets to, she goes to Georgia, and she's in a Pentecostal church. And I guess they're very active. I've never been there, but I guess they're pretty active. So the visiting pastor was there. He was very good, very enthusiastic, and he's dancing up and down the aisles, preaching and shaking on the floor, doing everything. And he comes up to her. He doesn't ask anybody else. He comes up to her, and he says, do you have something to say? I know you have something to say. And she didn't want to preach. She didn't want to say anything. And she knows she could preach. I know women aren't supposed to preach.
Sir.
But she knows how to preach. So she says, no. So he does this thing. He keeps going around again. He's going around the church again. He does this thing, and he's preaching. He's preaching throughout the church. He comes back to her again. He asks her again. Well, I know you got something to say. So she didn't want to do it. She said, no. Well, he goes around again and does the same thing. And she starts shaking. She's shaking, and she just felt like God, the Holy Spirit, was telling her, you got to say something. You got to talk. Grab that mic, say something. So he comes by again. She comes by again, and she grabs the mic. And she says, the church is full. It's a big church. And the pastor's wife was there. And she looks at him, she grabs the mic, and she says it as loud as she can, I cast that homosexual spirit out of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The guy fell down.
Oh, man.
And he said he thanked her for it because he was waiting to get that. Yeah, he was having homosexual affairs.
His
wife didn't know about it. I don't know the pastor, but it was amazing.
Oh, man.
It's kind of funny. I hate to go one more time, but I'm down here in Florida. I'm from Connecticut. One of my friends that used to live in my neighborhood, he's over in, he lives down in Vero, so we're going to go visit him. Well, it just so happens that this guy's got two sons about the same size of age as my son. His son is 30 and 24. My son's like 23. He's friends with his younger son. Well, his younger son is a homosexual. So I had to tell him that story.
Oh, my.
And I didn't. I don't want to tell it, but I did tell it. And it was real. I hope. It's funny. We're sitting there having lunch, and I didn't want to say because I thought I might hurt his feelings. But he's sitting there. He wanted to take a picture of us, so he's doing something. He takes a picture, and he sits down next to me. He puts his arm around me, really hard. I go, all right, now that's my sign. I got to tell him the story. And I told him the story. It was good.
So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Oh, one more. I hate to take over. But, you know, there's one thing. When that church split up, if you got a problem with somebody, don't go around telling anybody else. If you got a problem with somebody, go directly to them and say something to it and talk about it and get it out. Because this situation with this church breaking up, the deacon got up and said, I had a problem with it for a whole year. You had a problem with it for a whole year. He never said nothing to him. Speak it out. Get it out. Get it off your chest. If you got something, say it. Just go directly to the person you have a problem with. Because otherwise it's going to mess the whole thing up.
Amen.
And he's the leader of the church, and don't ever say anything bad about him. You got a problem with him, you go directly to him.
Amen.
Because
right.
It can mess up the whole church.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pat's got something to say. He doesn't need the microphone. Go ahead, brother.
No,
let one out.
Give him the mic, brother. Give him the mic. Yeah. Brother Pat, you had something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, remember Marilyn Green. She's my neighbor.
Okay.
And I'm inviting her to church Sunday to Brother Underwood's.
Okay.
And I'm just thanking the Lord, you know, however it goes, God's in control. That's all I know.
Amen. Amen.
But she's ready, I believe. Amen. I'm trying to introduce this message to her, you know.
Amen. That's good.
Gentle way.
Yes, sir,
you
brother.
Call me the gentle giant. I try to be humble and gentle.
All right.
Ram said, don't rise no higher than the dirt, because dirt's where we come from.
All right.
Be there in humbleness and humility.
All right. Glory. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you. I just had a little testimony that I wanted to share. Last Saturday, the family had went to Animal Kingdom in Disney World, and we're enjoying ourselves, having a good time, playing with the little ones, and we're just having a good time. And we get off one of the rides, and I realize that my wallet wasn't in my back pocket where I put it. And my wallet, the one I had, is a little bigger than my pocket, and it must have slipped out. So I tell my dad, and he's like, Joe, stop playing with me. I'm like, I ain't playing with you. It fell out of my pocket. So we start looking in the bags and in the stroller and stuff, and we can't find it in there. And he said, well, what'd you have in there, Joe? I said, I only had $150 cash. So But you know, he said, all right, well, there's only one thing we can do here. We're going to pray.
Amen.
So we just start praying. And after that, he told me, you know, Joe, just kind of let it go. You know, just try not to think about it too much, you know. And, you know, it's kind of a hard thing to do, you know, when something like that happens. But, you know, I just tried to let it go. And we started going back to some of the places, because each place has like a lost and found. And each place we went to said they didn't have it. But each place we went to, they had said there was a place called guest reception when you're leaving the park, and that's like where everything will go. So the end of the day comes, we can't find it anywhere, and my dad tells me, you know, Joe, I don't want to discourage you or nothing, but when something like that happens, someone could find your wallet and take the money and just throw your wallet, you know, and it could be gone. You know, and he said, but I ain't trying to discourage you. I was like, all right, well, thank you. So we're leaving, and I see the guest reception, so I head over there. And the lady at the counter, she says, hey, are you missing any, you lost something? I said, yeah, I lost a wallet. She said, all right, what'd it look like? I said, well, it was gray, and it was made of fabric. And she was like, okay, what have it in? I said, it had $150 cash in it. And she asked if there was like any cards or ID, and I said, no, none of that was in there, just cash. And she said, all right, I'll go back in the room and look. She was gone for a while, she comes out with the wallet and the money. So I just thank God for what a miracle that he did, and just the person that he sent to be so honest about it, you know, and not take the money and swipe it for their own. Because anybody could have took that money. So I just thank God and his miracle works. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for watching over your wallet. Reminded of Brother Brandon losing his clothes one time. And somebody told him, similar to what your dad told you, that the neighborhood that your clothes was lost in, I don't know if you're going to get it back. But a brother rides up and calls on the phone and says, is Brother Branham there? He's like, yeah. He said, I got his clothes. I'm coming on my way right now with it. So God is concerned about every detail of our life. Well, let's take these requests that we have to the Lord tonight, and we're prepared to dismiss. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. First, thank you for this wonderful testimony of how you watched over Brother Joseph's wallet and allowed him to recover all, not just a portion, but he recovered all. We thank you for that. We thank you for allowing Sister Virginia to see another birthday, Lord, and an opportunity to celebrate it here in the house of the Lord. Pray your blessings upon her in the upcoming year. God, that you would just allow her to experience your overflow. Lord, we just pray that over. And God, we have a number of requests that have come in tonight. Sister Cobb asking prayer. She lost an uncle today. And certainly the family is grieving and just needs you to undergird them and to carry them during this time. Uncle Robert, who happens to be the last remaining child of 10, and I know he recently lost a son as well, so Lord, we ask that you would just help him during this time. You are more than able to turn our mourning into dancing. So we ask that you would move on the scene for him, and God, through all of this, may somebody draw a little closer to you, and may lives, Lord, be touched and want to follow you and follow the example that has been set, Father, in this family. Brother Troy, Sister Tanya traveling, and God, give them traveling mercies as they, Lord, just go away, and just pray, let them rest and relax and recuperate. And God, just bless them while they're away, watch over their home, keep them under your tender care, and allow them to return safely. Also, Lem is going tomorrow for a procedure. I ask that you would go before him. God, that you would just touch his body, the doctors, the nurses that have been assigned to his care. Lord, may they be attentive, and Lord, may they, Lord, just treat him like a son of God. We pray that you watch over him. And Lord, even through this, may you somehow bring Lem closer to you, Lord, is our prayer. Also, Sister Linda is in the hospital fighting diabetes, blood pressure, seizures. And God, we see how the enemy has come against her. And Lord, we're just praying for complete and total healing in her body. But not just in her body, in her spirit, man. Lord, and not just in her spirit, man, but Father, this family has been so close to you. I just pray, God, that somehow through this situation, people's hearts will begin to turn again in your direction. And Lord, that you would call them. We know somehow you allow things to happen in our lives in order to get our attention. So I pray, Lord, that you would just move by your spirit, and may this be a time of restoration in health as well as in their spiritual walk. May it be a time of complete and total restoration. Lord, we commit them into your hands. Lord, Brother Pat was just asking for prayer for Marilyn Green, God, and how she's had some supernatural experiences with you. But Lord, as we were just sharing on Sunday, God, the sisters that believe this message, the way that they carry themselves, conduct themselves, they become a rebuke to the Pentecostals. And Lord, I know that if someone that walking that close to you, someone that with that kind of boldness, God, I know that you can reveal your truth to this lady, that she could come into the fullness of what you have. And Lord, even we've been journeying through the four life messengers that the prophet talked about, Luther and Wesley and the Pentecostals, that was all a part of the life traveling through, Lord, the wheat vine. And Lord, how we've come to this spot now where we have the fullness of the word, but with the fullness of the word, we receive justification. With the fullness of the word, we receive sanctification. With the fullness of the word, we receive the gifts of the Spirit. We receive it all. So Lord, I pray that you would give Brother Pat the wisdom, Lord, of what things to share. And as he invites in the church, give her a heart, Lord, that's ready to go. And give Brother Joe the right message, Lord, to preach, God, that we might quicken the seed that would be there, Father, is our prayer. And God, we just ask that you just move by your spirit, amen, upon Maryland. We're here because we're looking for the last seed. And we pray, God, that we would do our part to try to shine the light in those areas. And Lord, just thank you for Brother Mark. Lord, just his testimonies and Lord, his boldness as well. And Lord, the church there, we pray that you would just move upon every need that they would have. Strengthen your people. Bless your people. Help your people, God, through this season of transition is our prayer. Bless Brother Marty as well. And God, as the saints would prepare to leave this place tonight, go in their respective ways, we pray your traveling mercies upon each one. Keep us until we're able to come back together again on Sunday morning. May you meet us here, God, in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you, church. The brothers will come at this time to